This morning, continuing building a biblical worldview, and Psalm 8 certainly ties in with that. But today, my topic I would like to call Special Creations. And I kind of debated for a while, and this will probably take 2 weeks to talk about. And it's tied in with what we've been talking about. But for the last few weeks, we've been considering God's creative acts in Genesis chapter 1, his overall creative act when he created the heavens and the earth. And this lesson will be looking beyond that at the various things that are said to be specially created by God. You know, there is more there than I realize about what is specially created by God. Usually when we think of special creation, we're thinking merely of Genesis 1:1. God created the heavens and the earth, and you don't get any more special than that. But I found some other things that are interesting as well that tie in to this. And one of the reasons I want to pursue this is to take a further look at this word that's, the Hebrew word is bara, and it's the word translated created in Genesis 1:1, and this word is a very, very special word. And so this lesson will be focusing on verses that use this Hebrew word bara. And each of these instances can be said to be great, new, and epic-making. Yes, they may not be as epic-making as Genesis 1:1, which created all the heavens and the earth, but each of the ones I'll bring out are special in some particular way. By the way, you reminded me of this too, Brother Jack, in your devotion on Psalm 8. The one thing that the Bible makes clear is whether or not there is another planet out there capable of life or not. Certainly God's plan for the universe is laid out in the scriptures, and what's the center of that plan? Man on the earth is the center of that plan. So I think they're making much to do about nothing about this so-called planet they found. In fact, about all that they really can say about it is that it's not frozen and it's not all gas. That's about all they really can say about it. But in any case, God, certainly the earth and mankind, what is man that God is mindful of us, as it says in Psalm 8? Well, he centered his entire plan around us. This morning's lesson, though, is about the word bara and some of the things that can said to be new and great and special that God creates. But first, a few minutes, a quick review of what we've been talking about the last couple weeks. Of course, so we began with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And this is, of course, the word created here is the Hebrew word bara. It's a special word that's only used 46 times in the Old Testament. That sounds like a lot until you start to see that many of them are in Genesis 1, and many of them are referring strictly to the creation of the heavens and the earth and of man. But here in verse 1, we have something very special where God creates the heavens and the earth, and we refer to this as creation ex nihilo, or creation out of nothing. And one of the reasons this word, I believe, deserves our special attention is because many today do not believe that the universe, or as it's expressed here, the heavens and the earth, which encompasses the universe, many do not believe that it was created out of nothing. In fact, that's why they're looking all the time for some place they can say, oh, there might be life out here in outer space. They're trying in many, many ways to say, because they believe this, that we are somehow not special. And yet we are very, very special, especially if you read the Bible. So I want to emphasize today that when the word bara is used, these are special occasions of something new and original. They could only be accomplished by an omnipotent God. And so it's very appropriate that this verb is used here in Genesis 1:1 to describe this awe-inspiring, overwhelmingly impressive act of God. We should be just awestruck at the creation of God. The last several weeks, I've focused on these three words, created, formed, and made. hopefully demonstrated to you that they're used interchangeably for the acts of creation. All three of them have their purpose in the way they're used, and yet all of them are describing the same acts of God, the creative acts of God. And yet each one seems to have a different emphasis. As I just pointed out on the last slide, in Genesis 1:1, the word is bara. It's translated created, and a couple times a variation of it is translated creator. But it always has this sense of create or created or creator. It's only used of God's creative acts. That's something to realize. It's never used of man making a piece of pottery or man building an ark or anything of that nature at all. It's only used of God's creative acts. It expresses the origination of something new and great, as only God can do. But as we'll see, it's not just physical things, it can also be spiritual things. We also, last week, considered the word yasar, which means formed. It's the word used of the clay when it's formed by the potter. God is the potter and we are the clay. God is said to have formed man from the dust of the ground. It's said that God formed the beasts from the dust of the ground. And of course, the scriptures also use the same word to say God formed the earth, as I gave you some scriptures last week to that effect. God formed the earth as well. This word, I think, implies the skill of a craftsman or an artist. It implies design and forethought. The potter, when he sits down with a piece of clay and he starts to work the clay and form it, he has in his mind what he intends to make that clay. And that's a forethought. It starts in the mind of the creator, in the mind of the artisan. And as he forms it, he is making that clay to be what he intends for it to be. Our God designed the heavens and the earth and mankind and all that is in the heavens and the earth to fulfill his great purposes. He has a design in mind. He has a plan and a purpose in mind. And I think that this word helps to convey that to us. We also considered the third word that's translated, usually translated made, sometimes it's translated do, and it's the word asah, and it basically means to make or do. And the best instance of this to illustrate it, I think, is Genesis 2, verses 3 and 4. Genesis 2, verses 3 and 4, this is the conclusion of the creation, and he's putting the capstone on it. And you'll recognize verse 4 is one of these Toledoth phrases. But Genesis 2, 3 and 4 says, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." And some people say that should be translated "created to make." Either way, it's got both those words in there. It's got the created word and the made word. But then notice verse 4. "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." And so we see the interchangeable use with the word created. And yet, the word made here gives a little different emphasis, particularly since it's tied with the work of God. And so I draw from this that the word asah seems to imply labor is involved. There's work involved in making something. And here God worked for 6 days and then rested the seventh day to set a pattern for us. And so here we had God resting from his work that he had made. So these three words are interchangeable and yet have these subtle differences to fulfill in for us more of the idea of what God did in creating the world, the heavens and the earth. We looked at this verse last week as well. Isaiah 43, verse 7 uses all three of these words that I just spoke about. We read in Isaiah 43:7, even everyone that is called by my name. We'll look at this a little further in context in a few minutes, because you might be wondering, what is this talking about? He goes on to say, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. And this very clearly shows the interchangeability of these three words. God says that the one who is called by his name, he created, he formed and made. And so in the synonymous parallelism of this verse, he shows us this. It appears that the three verbs here are used interchangeably for the sake, and this isn't just my idea, other people think this as well, but I believe this too, that these verbs are used interchangeably for the sake of literary variation and emphasis. When you say something three times, it sort of emphasizes it. And if you can use different words to say it, you help re-emphasize it in those different ways. But also by using these different words, it gives us different subtleties of meaning that help to fill in a greater vision of what God has done. And so we saw this verse last time and these three words as well. So this morning, as I said a few moments ago, this lesson will be looking at verses, and it'll probably continue on till next week. I don't think I'll get done today. This lesson will be looking at verses that use the Hebrew word bara. Each of these can be said to be great and new and epic-making. In English, we use the word create kind of loosely. In fact, even this very morning, I was telling Janine about the Sunday school lesson, and I said, yeah, and I created this on the slide, you know. And then I realized, in fact, she realized that we didn't even say it to each other, but there was a pause, and I said to her, I said, look, Janine, how loosely I just used that word. And she said, yeah, I was just thinking about that. So she recognized it too. In English, we use this word create rather loosely. We use it all the time for all kinds of things. But in the Bible, the word create, the word bara in the Hebrew, is only used in special circumstances when referring to God creating. That's the emphasis I want to get across to you. I tried to think of some other words that would kind of express this, you know, because it's getting a little old saying great, new, and epic making. So I thought of special, original, notable, remarkable, impressive, innovative, novel, fresh, groundbreaking, unprecedented. All these words to describe the kind of things that God does. When God does something new and great, he's creating. Now, this was a verse we've looked at before. After God created the heavens and the earth, the next time we come across this word is in Genesis 1, verse 21. And it reads there, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth. And it goes on to talk about the creatures that God created. I gave you my thoughts on this, but this is the first mention of living creatures in this verse. I think that's why the word created is used. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth. He starts with the creatures in the sea because he starts with forming the seas first. Remember, he formed the sea and then the dry land and then the air when he divided the waters. And we'll look at that more particularly. But he seems to start with the creatures of the sea, and then he moves on to the creatures of the air, and then he talks about the beasts of the field later on. But in the beginning, the very first living creatures are from the sea, and I think he chose the most impressive ones, the whales, or as I pointed out before, this word in the Hebrew could be translated sea monsters. It doesn't have to necessarily be a whale. It's not specific to a whale, although whales, because of their great size and dreadfulness, certainly would classify in my mind as a sea monster. But it could have been dinosaur-like sea monsters and such. So because of their great size and dreadfulness is why I believe they're mentioned here. But it's the creating of the first original life of the moving creatures, something which had not previously existed. So it is great, new, and epic-making. Now you'll notice, you may have noticed already, that What about the trees and the grass that were before that? Well, I'll talk about that later. Biblically speaking, trees and grass are not life. Now, I'm just talking biblically. I know in our modern world, we classify that as light too, and it's plant life. But it doesn't have the same features as living creatures, which is what this is speaking of. It's more a part of the earth, the plants are, than they are individual living creatures. But anyway, this is the second use of the word bara. I pointed out this third use of the word bara, and obviously this one is obviously great and new. In Genesis 1:27, we read, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." Do you get the idea that God created man from this verse? He says it three times, right? Do you see up there on the slide, the word create is highlighted in yellow three times. Three times he uses this word bara, speaking about the creation of man. Do you think that God emphasized this enough, that he created us? Yeah, I think we all agree that he did. The creating of man in his own image, in God's own image, is groundbreaking. And that pun is intended. Now, I know it's not a perfect pun, but God used the dust of the earth, right? He used the ground. He broke up the ground to create man. It's groundbreaking and special. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That says it over in chapter 2 somewhere, maybe about verse 7 or so. And so, without question, this use of the word bara is original. It's remarkable. It's unprecedented. There is no better word than the word bara to make this point. So I've given you all these before, but I'm leading you along at how this word is used and developed in the scriptures. And actually, it's not used that much. So we have to jump all the way. Now, it is used in other times prior to the book of Isaiah. However, it seems to always be referring back to the earth, the heavens and the earth, and man. But in Isaiah 43, we saw this verse last time, and this is unique, where we read Isaiah 43, verse 1. It says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Now, we may not fully understand this verse. In fact, I'm anxiously awaiting Brother Ron's explanation of the rest of Isaiah. I tell you, you got some hard chapters coming up. You talked about, I think it was 20, was it 18 was the hard, it was a hard chapter. There's some hard chapters coming up too. However, one thing that I've noticed in these, like the Isaiah 40-something chapters, they're all wonderful. They all lift my soul. And so they're very, just wonderful to read. And I have my opinions, and my opinion might disagree with your opinion, and I'm sorry about that, but I will just say this. We're focusing this morning on the word bara. We're focusing this morning on the word created. And we read here, now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. What we have here, and I know I put it on the board, so I can't ask you the question, what was created? Well, I can't ask the question. I'll ask the question, but you got a hint. Okay, Jacob. Yeah, Jacob, but more, Israel. The name is Jacob, and the name is Israel, but what is it? A nation. Well, it's a man. That's right. At first, it is a man, no doubt. You know, Jacob and Israel is the name of a man, but it seems obvious to me that he's talking about a nation here, right? A nation being created. The word bara is used here in the creating of a nation, the nation of Israel. This was an act of special creation by God. It is remarkable and impressive. Now, let me refer to you because I thought, you know, I thought first of not doing this, but I can't help but do this. As I was saying, you know, I kind of wanted to do this lesson all today and finish it. But the only way to do that would have been bang, 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 bang through these verses. And I feel like I can't do that. I don't want to do that. So Deuteronomy 26, please turn with me there. What I want to make the point here is that God created a nation. And he used the word bara. It's special. It's impressive. It's remarkable that God created a nation. I'm going to give you a couple of different places. And actually, there was more. I had to kind of decide which ones to choose here. But in Deuteronomy 26, and let's look at, start at verse 16. This is God speaking to the nation of Israel. And he says, this day, or actually Moses is speaking for God, I believe here. We read, this day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched, or I'm going to use the word affirmed. Thou hast affirmed the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. You know, the people of Israel made a pledge that they would follow God and do his commandments. That's what that's saying. Then verse 18, and the Lord hath avouched, or affirmed, thee this day, to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made, in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be a holy people, a separated people, unto the Lord thy God as he hath spoken. God, when he redeemed Israel out of Egypt, he created a nation, and it was a special occasion when he did so. Now, God had an earthly people who he redeemed in an earthly manner out of an earthly nation, but God also has a heavenly people, right? A heavenly people that I also believe can be named Israel at times. So let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. Not in Deuteronomy. No, bara is not used there. But bara is used over in Isaiah 43, and I'm trying to illustrate, well, when did God create Jacob? When did God create Israel? See, I think, okay, again, you may heartily disagree with me, Brother Ron, and I'll listen to what you have to say when you get there, okay? Others here may heartily disagree with me. I think Isaiah 43 is looking backwards and forwards. I think it looks back to the nation of Israel and forward to the new nation, the spiritual Israel. That's my opinion. I'll just throw it out there. I can't prove that to you yet, but I'll just say keep an open mind. So anyway, 2 Samuel 7 says something similar. And I am really, I'm not trying to teach on anything other than bara here, but it's I want to talk about how special it is, the fact that God created a nation. 2 Samuel 7, and I think I want to begin about verse 22. Yeah. Okay, now this is David praying. And he says in verse 22, wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible, for the land before thy people which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. You see, David, I think he's talking there about the forming of a nation, the creating of a nation, and he talks about how God redeemed them from Egypt and from other nations and from other gods. But if you look at this entire prayer, it's also prophetic of Christ. And I believe we find there in verse 24, "For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God." Now, either you believe that means the Jewish people descending literally in the flesh, or that has a different kind of Israel in mind. Okay? We'll leave that for another day. But certainly, when God redeemed the nation of Israel out of Egypt, it was a remarkable thing. He created a nation when he did that. Let me go on in Isaiah, another use of Barah, and we'll close with this one, okay? Because that's all we're going to have time for. On the next slide here, we're going to see, again, this sort of, I think, a prophetic use of the word. But it's also looking back. It's looking back on the nation. In fact, you'd have to really read the entire chapter, verses 1 through 7 of chapter 43. And we'll have to wait for Ron to do that. Okay? I'm just going to jump right to verse 7. And notice, verse 7 is the verse that I showed you earlier. We read there, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him." God created everyone that is called by my name. Now, if you lived in the nation of Israel in that day, you'd be thinking, that's us. We're the people called by his name. But living in the New Testament as we do today, I know that we have been called by his name. How do I know that? Well, let me first, before I go to there, say, you know, every called one is a created being. It's a special work for God to call somebody to himself. It is noteworthy that each and every saint of God called by his name is a special original creation of God. We'll close with this. Romans 9 and chapter 20 and verse 23. Romans 9, explaining what I believe this means to be called by the name of God. It isn't only those in Israel. It's everyone called by his name is what we just read there in Isaiah. And in Romans 9, verse 23, we read there, the Apostle Paul says, "And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore," or before, "prepared unto glory." God prepared vessels for glory beforehand. It's the potter and the clay thing. And notice what it says in verse 24. "Even us," this is Paul who's writing to Romans, saying, "even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." You see, everyone in the that was called by his name in the Rome, the church at Rome, was also a called one. And it goes on to say in verse 25 and following, "And he, as he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God." So we see that there was a great change after Christ came, and God started calling people out of the Gentiles. And so everyone that is called by his name has been created by God, according to Isaiah 43:7. And so I think there's a looking back and a looking forward, but we can have that discussion at another time. Just realize, this word Barah is, I think, a very special word. God created, and when God creates a new creature in Christ, he's doing a great work. And each one of us is that special creation. We'll continue this next time. We'll look at a few more verses that speak of God's special creations as we come together next time.